Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Granger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a Friday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination to consume everything all across the grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We are here together for the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern time to conclude your week. But speaking of conclusions, the All-Star break in Major League Baseball is now done. A full Friday slate as baseball is back past the midway point of the year, but we'll call it the second half. All 30 clubs around the major leagues have played at least 95 of their 162 games. It is go time down the stretch with sights on October or maybe 2025. WOBA, XFIP, ISO power numbers back into your life on this Friday, as Donnie will break it all down throughout this show. In one final time to reset where the odds were at the All-Star break. Round number 2 at the Open Championship at Royal Troon already underway. And the big Irishman, Shane Lowry, off to a hot start in round 2, but some trouble on his 11th hole of the day. WNBA All-Star break, a weekend to preview for you into the Olympic break as well. So much to get to here, DRS, even in a quiet time in the sports calendar on this Friday.
Oh, we're back in a big way right now, and everything is on the up and up, which means Major League Baseball is back in our lives. As Ben pointed out, you got an All-Star game to take care of tomorrow. So many more teams being added to training camp with veterans reporting, and away we go. We made it through the dog days of summer. He said, what do you mean? It's still, you know, it's not September. It's not August. It's right. July 19th here. We didn't make anything. Trust me. We made it, people, and it's time to get after it, and we're ready this morning.
Donnie, I am proud of you. I am proud of us. I am proud of our team behind the scenes here on the Early Line as well. We have made it. They didn't think we could. Some people took the day off because it was so hard yesterday. Not us. Not us. Live right
not
here
like
on
us,
the Early
man.
Line.
Not
and
like
now
us.
We continue. Oh, that was now you got me all fired up. Not like us like on this Friday. Indeed. Not like us as we start with golf. That seems to be a natural flow. So as we go to the Open Championship, the 152nd playing at Royal Troon, of course, 5 hours ahead of us in Scotland. Round number 2 already well underway. Shane Lowry off to a great start. He sits atop the leaderboard at 7 under par. But the day one leader, Daniel Brown, a 6 under 65 in his opening round. Daniel Brown, the Englishman, out of nowhere. He did make the cut last week at the Scottish Open, finishing in a tie for 61st, but had missed his last 4 cuts on the DP World Tour, formerly the European Tour. Not necessarily in the best form ever, but he had the round 1 lead at Royal Troon at 6 under par. Shane Lowry only 1 shot back and is off to a great start here in round number 2. Daniel Brown has dropped the shot into his second round on this Friday.
Absolutely, man. Interesting stuff going on there at the Open right now. And also, what can Brown do for you? Well, apparently have that round one lead as we head into the second round today. And by the way, Shane Lowry is right now in a lot of trouble. His posted score right now is -7. We'll see how much that changes in a couple minutes, because you might have Brown back at least with a tie for the lead in just a few moments. So the wind is whipping, the rain is out there, and Tiger Woods is struggling to say the least here, BSS. Struggling to say the least here. Yeah.
Yep. 8 over in his opening 18. That's a 79. He is 4 over today through 13 holes. He is currently in a tie for third to last. It does not seem that Tiger Woods will make the weekend. The last time we spoke, DRS, he birdied hole number 3 and was 1 under par in red numbers. Yeah, it's been a long 24 hours since that point. Now some basketball news around the association. The LA Clippers sending Russell Westbrook to the Utah Jazz, also a second round pick swap and some cash. Chris Dunn in return heads to the Clippers franchise in LA, but Utah expected to buy out the remainder of Russ's contract, paving the way for him to sign with the Denver Nuggets. It seems as though Russell Westbrook is on his way to the Mile High City.
Yeah, I think there still is a show on TV by the name of The Biggest Loser, which is basically what Russell Westbrook has been in his career. Unbelievable individual talent, but will wreck your basketball team in the way of him getting his numbers. It's no surprise that he's been bought out now multiple times, being sent to different teams, coming off the bench. He's still a great talent, but if you want to add him because you want to chase a championship, that ain't your guy. So we'll see what the Nuggets can do with him.
Well, look at the odds for the Nuggets. Their outlook strong even before the Russell Westbrook change. Did it move the market? Not a ton, if at all. But the more breaking basketball news as of this morning, in the last 15 minutes, Kevin Durant will practice for the first time with Team USA today. Might be ready to go in one of the two final exhibition matches against South Sudan on Saturday or Germany on Monday before we have the opening ceremonies at the Paris Olympic Games exactly 1 week from today. Speaking of basketball, Bronny James playing better in summer league out in Las Vegas. 12 points two nights ago, 13 points last night as the Lakers summer league team picks up a win. Maybe we were all wrong about Bronny James. Maybe he was just in a slump as he detailed, and now he is out of it.
All these problems here with the internet right now scrambling things up, but I believe ESPN's still able to post now in the depth chart for the Lakers that Bronny is now the starting guard, apparently, after those two efforts here in the offseason. But it's, look, you got to take those baby steps at sometimes. Back-to-back performances of double digits, getting a little bit better on the court familiarity. You love to see it out there, but it is interesting to see how now we're going to treat Bronny James. But he is going to accept anything that the Lakers ask of him, which means going to the G League if needed. We'll see how it plays out and let's go.
I mean, it's all you can ask of the kid, just to perform well when he is on the basketball floor. The last two nights he has done that. On the final day of the Major League Baseball All-Star break, MLB says what a good time to build some momentum, not for the second half, but 2025. They released the schedule for next season.
Yeah, and nobody cares about that. I mean, no, like nobody. We look forward to the NFL, and that's it. I always love every single sports league that figures they have to release their schedule well in advance as if people are waiting on it. We're not waiting on it at all. Nobody cares about next year's baseball schedule. How about that, Rob?
The season started in Seoul, South Korea this year. It will start in Japan next year and, I believe, feature the Chicago Cubs. SEC Media Days, the four-day extravaganza in Dallas, now officially done after yesterday's fourth and final day. But some more news around the former Alabama head coach, Nick Saban. The field at Bryant-Denny Stadium in Tuscaloosa will be named after Nick Saban.
And it should be at that point here. It's the least they can do. He's already got statues out front, and maybe only a matter of time before his name is on the actual stadium itself. Well deserved for Nick Saban, no doubt about it.
6 national championships in Tuscaloosa, matching that of Paul Bear Bryant, of course, who had the most ever in college football history. Nick Saban has more than that with 7 national titles, but one of them at the helm in Baton Rouge for LSU. Lamar Jackson challenging the 8 trademark that Troy Aikman of the Dallas Cowboys made famous. That's when you know it's slow in sports.
Hey, how about that? You know, millionaires fighting over millions of dollars here. Never saw that coming at this point. But let me tell you something. When we hear the name 8 out here in the streets, I don't think of either one of those guys. I don't think about anything. So no. I don't want to hear about market infringement on, like, hey, man, use the word 8. That's my name here. Stop the madness out here. Get it together.
I didn't know you could trademark a number. That's something we learned today together here
DRS,
on this Friday
trademarked.
On the early line. DRS is trademarked, no doubt about it. So that
it
was an indication that it's a slow part in the sports calendar. And then how about this? Rafael Nadal's latest return at the Swedish Open continues. He beat Cam Norrie in straight sets yesterday. He's playing in the quarterfinals right now.
Yeah, I'd rather hear about Swedish Fish than the Swedish Open in tennis at
me too.
With Rafael Nadal. So shout out Nadal coming back. What he's coming back to, I have no idea. So there you go.
The Paris Olympics next week on clay at Roland Garros, where Rafael Nadal has won 14 Grand Slam titles, of course, at the French Open. Let's talk about actual things worth of significance up next as we look at round number 2 underway on this Friday at the Open Championship, live right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Because of the timing of the Open Championship across the pond in Scotland, there is a lot to get you caught up on at the end of the opening round after we left the airwaves yesterday to where we are right now, already well into round number 2 on this Friday. Everybody playing for the weekend and a spot atop the leaderboard. Let's go first to what happened at the end of round number 1. When DRS and I left you yesterday, we both said Justin Thomas to be the round 1 leader at 3 under. Already in the clubhouse, the 4 guys behind him at 2 under were also already done with their opening 18 holes. And the weather looked abysmal. Wind, rain, it seemed like a true Scottish summer at the Open. Well, then things got a lot better through the afternoon and evening hours, and the guys started to go low, including one guy you've probably never heard of, Daniel Brown, the Englishman, the round 1 leader, 6 under par, firing an opening round 65. Last week, DRS, at the Scottish Open, he tied for 61st in the 4 events prior to that on the DP World Tour, the former European Tour. He had missed the cut. He was not necessarily playing his best golf in the world. I think he's ranked something like 365th. In the world, but he was your round 1 leader at the end of Thursday at the Open Championship.
Never surprises you at the Open because you have the elements that creep into it, a golf course that's certainly unique at this point, which allows that. But no, we didn't see that coming because not having eyes on it, right, while we're doing the show itself, you know, getting the snippets here, oh, it's rainy and it's windy, and then getting the forecast where maybe the rain would subside a little bit, but we were expecting to get even more gusts in the afternoon. After we got done the show, I turned it on and said, wait a second, it's not raining. It doesn't even look like the wind is blowing at all, and yet a couple guys do very well in the afternoon. And Justin Thomas at that 3 under looked like he was going to sit on there and say, you know what? I'm going to be the round 1 leader no matter what. I even took a shot on Sepp Straka when he was 2 under at a 10-to-1 price, and he faded on the back, which, again, was supposed to happen with bad weather, not other guys absolutely surging up the leaderboard. And also, it's one where you say, like, hey, you know what? Just a bad beat, Ben. You bet against Scottie Scheffler. You knew he was going to be the round 1 leader at 5 under, regardless of what the weather conditions were, and he wasn't even able to do that. So if you had Justin Thomas, like, okay, I lost. Who beat me at this point? Oh, it was Daniel Brown. Yeah, that makes absolute sense that that actually happened, but it did. Yeah. I wonder, what was his price, by the way? Did you say his price on, like, to be the round 1 leader?
No.
It had to be something ridiculous. Was it even on the board? It's quite questioned.
I can't imagine it was. There's like 162 guys in the field. I do not imagine they listed a number for Daniel Brown. Maybe they did. We did not have it here yesterday. Shane Lowry, the 2019 Champion Golfer of the Year, winning the Claret Jug at the Open Championship in Ireland, or Northern Ireland, I should say, at Royal Portrush. He also got off to a great start yesterday. Could not miss on the greens. He was 5 under after his opening round. Daniel Brown, by the way, did not record a single bogey on the court in his first 18 holes. He has bogeyed a hole here on his second round on Friday. Shane Lowry, 2 under 34 on his opening nine, but did just make a double on his 11th hole, the second of the back nine for Lowry. So he and Daniel Brown now currently co-leaders at the Open, both at 5 under par. Justin Thomas tees off in just about an hour and a half. He's still at 3 under. A slew of guys at 2 under par yesterday, including Xander Schauffele. He has won over in his second round. Patrick Cantlay playing alongside Schauffele and Tiger Woods, making a run at the moment. 3 under on Friday. And you mentioned Scottie Scheffler, DRS. Steady as they come. Scheffler, 1 under yesterday, even through his opening 10 holes today. As we look at the updated odds, Shane Lowry is the current favorite at plus 360. Scheffler's second best price at plus 550. But even after yesterday, Scottie Scheffler entered round number two, following round number one as the tournament favorite at 4-1.
Yeah, it's fun to watch this play out, too, because sometimes, and again, betting where you need your guy, if you don't have Shane Lowry or obviously Daniel Brown, you want those guys to come back to the field. But just from a competitive standpoint, it's always nice to see them going into Saturday and Sunday with like 10 or 15 people within two or three shots of the lead. That makes for a fun tournament, specifically if we get some of that Mother Nature wind and rain into play as well to keep everybody in the loop. But you saw Lowry had a chance, I don't want to say to run away with it, but that double bogey brings him right back into a tie with Daniel Brown at 5 under, and a slew of guys still under par right behind them here. We'll see how things shake out today, and then we head to the cut. I believe, just looking at some of the numbers, Ben, maybe a plus 4, it looks like, as the projected cut line, and that probably is going to rise. And I would, if we had to guess now, like, is it going to be 3 or 5? I'd probably say it'd be closer to 5 here by the end of the day if I was looking at it.
Yeah, it really depends on what that weather looks like, what the conditions look like later in the afternoon on this Friday. A couple of guys who teed off early yesterday, right at that cut line right now, who had one of the 10 best prices to win the Open before this week got underway, Ludvig Åberg and, of course, Victor Hovland, both 4 over in their opening round. Brooks Koepka off to a strong start. You saw those odds after round number one, a 16-1 price. 5th best on the FanDuel Sportsbook. He was 1 under in his opening round, 2 over today, 1 over par for the tournament. Shane Lowry has that pedigree, a man of Irish descent who won at Royal Portrush back in 2019 in Northern Ireland. He knows Lynx golf. He is off to a great start today. I keep waiting, Donnie, for when those numbers might update on a Scottie Scheffler, on a Xander Schauffele to finish top 10, both heavily juiced live at this moment. Scottie Scheffler, who right now is in a tie for 10th at 1 under par, alongside guys like Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele, is still minus 300 to finish top 10. He's minus 120 is Scheffler to finish inside the top 5.
Yeah, never want to bet against him. But by the way, if we're looking at the top of the standings here, that's always fun, but also equally to look at the bottom of the standings. And we got a fight right now. And I actually had to do some research. I saw the name Todd Hamilton at a plus 16 and said to myself, I think that used to be the name of a movie back in the day. And it was just off. It was Win a Date with Tad Hamilton. So guy's pretty famous at this point. But you know who he's holding off right now? There is a fight at plus 13 right now between Tiger Woods and Denwit Bury Boone Sub. So watch out for that one to see how it finishes the rest of the day. Could it be Tiger Woods finishes dead last in the British Open? You know who's smiling right now? No, not golf fans, not people that bet on Tiger Woods. Colin Montgomery having that last laugh at a pub somewhere in Scotland today.
Todd Hamilton, the 2004 Open champion. That's why he's still in the field. Tiger Woods, 5 over through 14 holes in this second round. We'll talk to Big Cat and Rory up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So in our first segment, detailing what is happening already in round number two over at Royal Troon in Scotland at the 152nd Open Championship, we looked at the good golf, the guys near the top of the leaderboard. Now we have the opposite conversation. Let's start with Tiger Woods. He is on the course right now in his second round. 5 over par through 14 holes. 8 over yesterday, opening round 79. When Donnie and I were here with our guy Charlie Hulme around 10:30 a.m. Eastern time, Tiger Woods was 1 under par through his opening 3 holes. Donnie, yesterday was not my day in-game live betting the Open. I bet Justin Thomas to be the round 1 leader, expecting some gnarly Scottish weather in the afternoon and evening hours. Dissipated. Shane Lowry, Daniel Brown, both surpassing Justin Thomas atop the leaderboard following the opening round. I also bet Tiger Woods, after making his first bogey of the day, to get back to even par through 4 holes to fire a 75.5. That was the updated over-under. I bet the under had to be 4 over or better. I thought I had some wiggle room. 8 over par. Tiger Woods right now in a tie for second to last out of 156 golfers still in the field at the Open Championship. Tiger Woods is not going to see the weekend in Scotland.
I know it's been a while, and technically it has already been officially over for Tiger Woods. Just trying to play it out, hoping for some competitive golf. But sometimes when you say to yourself, okay, like, we start to make excuses why Tiger Woods can win, as opposed to saying, like, okay, why should he be a great player this week, as opposed to where he's playing. Hey, Pinehurst number 2, it's real flat, didn't play very well at all. And then even buying into a notion like Tiger is a crafty veteran. This isn't a golf course that he's playing this week, which is all about superior length and dropping balls from 175 feet in within 2 feet of the cup and making putts here. This is about using your knowledge of these golf courses that you played before. When windy conditions are out there, I can think about these shots, imagine these shots, and execute these shots. And it's a golf tournament that we don't think, Ben, is going to be 15 or 20 under par, which figures Tiger Woods should be able to scramble around and just compete in this golf tournament. And boy, we sold ourselves a bill of goods, because on Thursday he was bad. Did. He's even worse today. He's not going to make it to the weekend, because the layout was, hey, these guys aren't going to go low. Hang around. And I said, what is a good week for Tiger Woods? Make the cut, but just be competitive. Don't even be in like the top 15, top 20, even top 30. Just play competitive golf. But the dude's going to just continue to go out and shoot like 79 yesterday, and then, like, I don't know, 76, 75, whatever it's going to be today, or even higher. It's not even competitive golf at this point. There are no excuses where, hey, this golf course really fits Tiger Woods. No golf course fits Tiger Woods anymore.
Yeah, DRS, we try to rationalize it, and it's difficult to do. You want Tiger Woods to provide that juice that we all know Tiger Woods had back in the day. One of my favorite sporting moments of my life, the 2008 U.S. Open, the birdie on 18, his 72nd hole to force the playoff against Rocco Mediate, Dan Hicks on the call. Expect anything different? I still get chills talking about that. It's a flashbulb memory in my mind. It reinvigorates why I have the passion for sports to be sitting in this chair on a daily basis. I always root for Tiger Woods on the golf course. It's just not there anymore. And Tiger is the ultimate competitor, still at the age of 48, still not playing a ton of golf, still underperforming based even on our wildest of expectations. So when he's asked post-round what didn't work, he's going to give you the same answer of his, as if he was the pre-tournament favorite. Yeah, I made too many mistakes. He's never going to say, I just don't have it anymore, but that seems to be the case. Rory McIlroy, though, very different conversation. Second best price entering the tournament, plus 850 to maybe snap the decade-long drought outside of the winner's circle at a major championship. A 7 over par 78 in his opening round. Tied for 129th after Thursday. Some updating on the leaderboard with Rory set to tee off at 10:10 a.m. Eastern time. He is tied for 123rd. He is going to need to go low to see Saturday and the weekend at Royal Troon.
And these aren't the conditions to go low with here. That's why you just can't have bad scores. And as long as you're hanging around par, you're probably going to be into this all 4 rounds. But when you open up with a plus 7, and as Ben says, you have to go low. This golf course and conditions aren't showing us to go low here. So what's going low? Shooting even par on a day, which will still sit him back, 12, 13, 14, 15 shots, if he even makes it to the weekend. Now, granted, he could have a day where he shoots 3 under par and gets close to that cut line, but I'm not banking on that right now. If you ask me today, hey, Donnie, free bet, is Rory going to see the weekend? Absolutely not. He didn't play well yesterday and has to play much better today, which includes going low, like 3 or 4 under par. I don't see it.
Round two score for Rory McIlroy. Over under 71.5. Under that, ooh, would be even now. Par. Major League Baseball All-Star break is over. We detail it next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Major League Baseball All-Star break is over. A full slate on this Friday starts the second half and the stretch run of this long 162 we call the regular season in MLB. Again, we'll say it. Every team around the bigs, all 30 organizations, have played at least 95 games of their 162, but we'll refer to it as the second half after the All-Star break. We're just over a week and a half away from the end of July. That's the trade deadline, the next big date, if you will, in the calendar of Major League Baseball. So let's look at where the market is. That the All-Star break is done and action resumes on the diamond on this Friday. Where it is now and where it was at the start of this 2024 MLB campaign on opening day. The Dodgers open this year as the short favorites to win a World Series, plus 320. They were over a dollar in front of the Atlanta Braves. The Astros had the third best price at 7-1, best out of the American League. The Yankees 9-1. The O's and the Rangers, of course, Texas, the reigning World Series champs, at 14-1. In the Phils, a 15-1 price. On the right side of that table, DRS, the current prices. So let's rattle them off quickly. The Dodgers still remain exactly where they were, the favorites at plus 320. But the biggest changes, of course, the Phillies up the board, only a dollar behind L.A., plus 420. The Yankees have vaulted in front of the Astros. Houston still one of the 10 best prices. The Orioles and the Braves still remain in the top five. And, of course, the Texas Rangers, four games under 500 at the All-Star break, a 60-1 number now to go back-to-back as a World Series champ.
Yeah, I really have any issues here to start the season. Always thought it would be the Dodgers here because on paper, the best team in baseball. And as we know, we keep talking about this, when you get to the deadline, they're no strangers to adding on and adding superstar players, not just a bench bat or another bullpen arm. You take a look at the Braves, the Astros, the Yankees, the Orioles, the Rangers, and the Phillies. That made sense. Now, granted, sometimes it's a little bit of, you know, hindsight at this point. You take a look at the Philadelphia Phillies at that 15-1 price to open the season. Maybe that was a little bit higher than expected compared to the Braves at a plus 450. They might have been a little bit closer intact because coming into the season, I still thought the Phillies had a great shot to win, but the MO really of the Phillies is what? Let's meander around for the first part of the season, turn it on we need to, the superstars are playing, away we go into the playoffs, we have a good 1-2 punch. So maybe that was a little bit off, but I can't fault the people for saying, hey, Rangers just won the World Series, 14-1, extremely talented, they'll get some of those starting pitchers back around mid-season, and away they go. Now, they certainly have fallen off. Now, take a look at the updated odds here to win the World Series. Again, still talking about some of those odd points where it's the Dodgers, it's expected to be a contender in the playoffs, and we agree. I just don't believe right now the favorite should be the Dodgers, because sometimes it is, what have you shown me on the field? And you might get that argument, Ben, 2, 3, 4 weeks into the season. You're not getting that argument now as we sit on July 19th. The Phillies are the best team here. I just think they should be priced accordingly to that standpoint. But I understand how the odds work and how they get to those numbers and the expectations at the end of the season, because once again, you're not winning the World Series on October the 1st. You got to make it to the playoffs, and you have to play well in the playoffs, and the Dodgers certainly will be a contender at that time.
Honestly, I think that's the most interesting data point of all the market movement we have seen since the end of March, opening day to where we are now at the end of the All-Star break. The Phillies are the best team in baseball, 62 wins, the most in the bigs. All right, it makes sense. Their number that was already relatively short has grown dramatically shorter to win a World Series, also with the postseason pedigree the Fightins have had the last 2 years, appearances in the NLCS. The Astros and the Rangers have struggled. Okay, their prices grow a little bit longer. The Yankees, the O's, they're pretty much based on expectation, and the Braves have taken some knocks, no doubt, based on injuries, so their price moves a little bit. But the Dodgers have remained exactly the same. Not 10 cents longer, not a dollar shorter. LA is still very good. They're leading the National League West by 7 games. They have the second best record in the NL, albeit 6.5 games behind Philadelphia. They're still 15 games above 500 at 56-41. But to have the exact same number way back in March to where they are now nearing the end of July is fascinating to me, because the Dodgers entered the All-Star break losing 8 of their last 11 games. The Dodgers have so much talent on the injured list. I think there's a compelling argument you can make that LA's IL team could be its current day roster emerging here out of the All-Star break, mainly in their starting staff and the arms they have on the bump. And the Dodgers have stayed the exact same. You would have thought, Donnie, maybe some movement in the numbers based on how the Dodgers ended that first half entering the All-Star break. But I think the odds makers are reluctant, knowing all the talent that awaits and probably some big moves to be made in the next 11 days before the MLB trade deadline.
Yeah, it's the same thing when we try to equate it to other sports, which we like to do to give that, you know, advantage and say, well, has there ever been a precedent that's going to be set? The Brooklyn Nets in the NBA, if they were going to get healthy back in the day with James Harden and Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, obviously the regular season is thrown out the window because you're measured on what you can do in the playoffs. And the bookmakers thought that if Brooklyn could make it to the playoffs and be completely healthy, they would be able to do damage. Well, it's really the same wavelength. But the Dodgers aren't struggling to make the playoffs. They're going to win the NL West. They're going to be in the playoffs and probably the number two overall seed with a great path to meet up against the Philadelphia Phillies in the NLCS. Just want to have home field advantage, which does make it a little bit tougher. But once again, that point driven home in the past, the absolute superstars that the Dodgers are able to acquire at the deadline is unlike anything that we even attempt to look forward to. Because if everybody could do it, they would. If the Guardians could go at the deadline and get the top two pitchers on the market, they would do it. The Yankees and the Mets. But it seems like the Dodgers operate in a different stratosphere where they always have prospects. Why? Because they have a great farming system and a great scouting department that continues to reload in that international market. And also, when you ask them, hey, boy, we're going to go over that tax threshold, they don't care. It's the Los Angeles market. Those owners are buying in to win baseball games, not worrying about their money, because when they decide to sell the Los Angeles Dodgers, that's when the windfall is going to come. That's why that price is priced so accordingly, because we are expecting, yes, the Dodgers have talent on the IL. They'll get all of those guys back, which most franchises will say, that's the best trade we can make, just getting our guys healthy at the break. And I agree with that. But the Dodgers don't think that way. The Dodgers might go out and pull like an all-star player to go on their outfield, which is already jammed with talent, or go like, hey, we have addition to make a first base move here, even though you have an unbelievable first baseman. That's the embarrassment of riches that the Dodgers operate under, and that's why they're the favorite.
So we have some movement in the numbers, right? The Rangers have moved back by a ton, 14-1, now 60-1. The Astros were 7-1 before the year, now 20-1. But the Rangers are the only team of that list of seven that you see on your screen that had one of the seven shortest numbers to contend for a World Series before the year got underway that is now outside the top 10. The Astros still in the top 10. The Twins were in the top 10 before the year got underway. That's where Minnesota remains. Cleveland, best record in the American League, a half game better right now than that of Baltimore. Also in one of the 10 best prices to win a World Series. And the Brewers round out the top 10 at 25-1. You saw that screen right there, DRS. Those top 10 prices to win a World Series. Is there a bet that you would advise people to make right here, right now, at the end of the All-Star break, before that first day of the second half officially begins later this afternoon?
Yeah, I think you're going to get a little bit, the two teams that you probably look at, right, if you're going to make an advantage, like the Dodgers at a plus 320 price, how much value do they have? Well, value's in the eye of the beholder. If they win the World Series, 320 was an unbelievable price. I think the Phillies also still have some value at a plus 420 price. But when you're looking for true numbers that can make an impact here, one of those lottery tickets, of course, you're going to look at 50 and 60-1. But let's just stay in that top five or top six. I've been telling you all along about the Yankees at a plus 550 price. Let's be honest with ourselves. You can't win the World Series unless you get to the World Series, to put it in its simplest form. So if you're looking at the Yankees and the Orioles, 7-1 and plus 550, I don't see anybody challenging those two teams to make it to the World Series. So I think you have a great shot here if you pick if one, not the other one, if that makes sense, at those prices. I think they're both going to wind up making deep runs in the playoffs, and whoever wins that division is going to have a leg up. And for me, it's still the Yankees. But if you take that 7-1 price on the O's, I can't fault you for that. One of those two teams will be there.
More market movement, independent prices up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We mark the movement in the World Series odds here at the end of the All-Star break with the first full Friday slate of the second half about to begin this afternoon into the evening hours. We do the same case study with those pennant prices. We start in the American League, the six shortest numbers entering this year on opening day. That was March 28th to where we are now on Friday, July 19th, following the MLB All-Star break. Numbers on your left. Opening day, numbers on your right, that is the current odds. The Astros were the favorites. The Yankees had the second best number. Now the current favorites, Baltimore and Texas, like they were in the World Series numbers, tied for those third best prices, plus 650 for Texas, plus 650 for the O's. Baltimore now that second best price. Seattle has remained the same. The Twins have some positive market movement as well, down by $2.50. So again, Donnie, it's really only the Rangers, the reigning World Series champs, that of course had an optimistic odds outlook in either the World Series market or the AL pennant prices that have seen the worst market movement against them.
Yeah, and again, we're looking at those numbers here, and you usually think, oh, man, the odds makers are way off again. You're getting a steal. I don't have any arguments or any problems with Astros, Yankees, Rangers, Orioles, Mariners, and Twins, even in that order. We expected the Twins to be good. We expected the Mariners to compete out West. We expected the Astros, who are always in the mix for the playoffs, to be there, and now you take a look at them finally hitting that gas pedal and maybe should be the favorites over the second half of the season to win the AL West at that point. And somebody's going to say, like, yeah, well, you should have known a team that wins the World Series is going to completely fall off. Like, no, nobody knows that here. And the Rangers just might be getting their, you know, legs under them right now, just a few games under 500 to compete in a West that's certainly up for grabs at this point. So I do like the job that the odds makers made and just showing that, because sometimes you can just punch holes in arguments. I look at those numbers and say, yeah, that sounds about right to me.
And despite really the struggles for the Astros for a good majority of the opening half of this year, 33-14, even on June 18th, just over a month ago, the price never got much longer than that 8-1, 9-1 mark. Plus 800 is where they enter the second half of this season. Really, the biggest story is the current AL pennant odds and some large movement from teams that were not in the top six best prices. The reason we highlight six, that's the number of teams that make the expanded postseason, of course, in each league. Let's start with the negative to begin. The Toronto Blue Jays, seventh best price at 10-1 to win the American League pennant before the year got underway. Now 150-1. We expect the Blue Jays to be sellers ahead of the deadline, maybe ever so, trading Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Bo Bichette. And that 10-1 number, Donnie, pretty reflective of what the last few off seasons have been for Toronto. Expected to maybe make a run, but never truly matching expectation.
No, and certainly not. And again, going back to the odds makers, was anybody looking at Toronto this year going like, yeah, it's probably the year they sell that entire team? This was a team that was supposed to be built for a decade plus with superstars, the money behind them, a good ownership group, a good general manager to make that push and challenge the Boston Red Sox and the Yankees and the Orioles and Tampa Bay. Quite frankly, one of the more challenging divisions in baseball to operate if you are a general manager. So we are sort of shocked to see this, because sometimes you have to weigh the now and the future. Like, are you a better team? And if you say it just didn't work, because we're playing in such a good division, let's trade everybody away and start again. That's a tough sell there. They renovated the Rogers Center out there. They were ready for a big baseball season and young superstars to try to provide it. And they just might be piecemealing away to say, you know what? We can't compete with the Yankees, the Orioles at this point right now. And the Red Sox are playing better. Maybe we'll retool for the future, which is tough to sell a market that's used to having success and spending some money.
The biggest market movement in a positive way, two teams that would be in the American League postseason bracket if the season ended today at the end of the All-Star break. The Guardians, the champions of the American League Central, would be the top team in the AL, 21-1. They're not on that list. That's the list we need. 21-1 before the year got underway. Slash that price in third, 7-1 now on Cleveland, and the Red Sox down by nearly half, 30-1, take $14 off. Boston 11 games above 500, now a 16-1 price. The Sox that third and final AL wildcard spot at this current moment. Now let's go to the National League. And again, Donnie, some movement in the prices, but not really the structure of the teams. It was the big two before the year. It was L.A. and Atlanta, with Philly trailing ever so slightly behind at an 8-1 price. Again, opening day numbers on your left, current day pennant prices on your right. Now it's still really the big two, but it's L.A. and Philadelphia and the Braves in that third spot. But again, even after Atlanta or Philadelphia on opening day, a large drop-off to every other team in the National League.
No doubt about it. And rightfully so. We knew it was going to be the big three coming into it, but you figured that the Braves would be much more of a threat, and rightfully so. But you can't predict injuries to, and we're not talking about like, hey, man, that guy was a key to the rotation. No, you might be talking about the best pitcher in the National League coming into the season in Spencer Strider. Oh, well, you lose Acuna. Yeah, he was okay. No, like an MVP coming into the season. You can't survive that. So shout out the Braves just for hanging around, because you're leaning on guys like Chris Sale and Ronaldo Lopez. If I told you before the season, you're going to lose Strider, you're going to lose Acuna, and your two top pitchers are Chris Sale and Ronaldo Lopez, you're like, yeah, they might just be retooling entirely Atlanta and giving up on the season. That's what's so impressive at this point. So you see the updated numbers, right? Dodgers still in first place, which again, I disagree with. Phillies just behind them in closing that gap. And then you see the Braves at a plus 450, where similar to what I was talking about with the Houston Astros, I just don't see them recovering from 10 or so games under 500. They did. Once the Braves were done, I told you, they probably weren't going to win this division. They would still make the playoffs, but not do any damage in the playoffs. But the guy that I wanted to keep an eye on, as we were talking about yesterday, Ronaldo Lopez, if he has an ERA under two and Sale has a two, why can't they compete at this point? Nobody saw that coming here. So sometimes you have to adjust your evaluations of what you saw for the first couple months, because if those evaluations continue, like Sale and Ronaldo Lopez being one of the best 1-2 punches in baseball, sure, they can compete in the playoffs.
And they really are going to, plus 450. Yes, they trail the Phils by 8.5 games in the National League East, but comfortably in that top spot in the wild card chase. The other two wild card teams currently in the National League, the Cardinals and the Mets, both at 30-1. Both prices have grown longer since opening day. But again, it kind of goes to say that even if you're in the postseason mix, your odds outlook not all that great past L.A., Atlanta, or Philadelphia. The Cubbies have seen a lot of movement. They're in the cellar of the National League Central. The Diamondbacks, the reigning NL pennant winners, back by $8. But they have won 8 of their last 12 to get back to above 500 for the first time in a while. Individual award races in MLB next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All of the individual award races that had a price on the FanDuel Sportsbook on opening day and still do, that's our last step of market movement here at the conclusion of the MLB All-Star break. We start in the American League. On your left, preseason favorite. On your right, that current favorite with the odds associated. In the American League, it was a Yankee to win the MVP award, but it was Juan Soto. Now it's Aaron Judge at minus 370. Judge did have the second best price behind his Bronx teammate at a 7-1 number. Corbin Burns has the second best price now, but Tarek Skubal is the favorite to win the American League Cy Young Award. This tidbit from our producer Joe Friso, as you will see here in the next 5 minutes, the only preseason favorite in any of the 12 award markets, American League, National League combined, that is still the current favorite, Wyatt Langford, the rookie for the Rangers at plus 250 to win the AL Rookie of the Year before the season, plus 135. Now, you see comeback player, reliever of the year, manager of the year as well. That's a pretty interesting tidbit on Wyatt Langford, still the favorite to win AL Rook of the Year.
No, it's an interesting market to look at overall, because if gambling was so easy, Ben, they would just line up the odds and be like, yep, that's exactly how they're going to finish from opening day all the way through the season. That's why if you handicap, do your due diligence and get a little bit of luck, you can find some really good pricing compared to what we saw from the beginning of the season to what you're now getting now. And again, just looking at the MVP market over there in the AL, Judge and Soto. Of course, Judge deserved to be a minus 370 price here. And then we'll get to the American League and the MVP there. Of course, those guys should be favorites, but it's interesting always to see where those price points started and where they're at now, because a lot of times you can be that armchair quarterback. I knew this guy was going to do this. No, you didn't. Otherwise, you would have bet it on opening day at that point.
AL Manager of the Year, A.J. Hinch of the Tigers, was the short favorite entering, but it's another American League Central team with a young skipper, Stephen Vogt, in his first year at the helm in the land that has the Guardians in first in the AL Central and a minus 155 price to win AL Manager of the Year. Now to the National League. Ronald Acuña Jr., reigning NL MVP, was the favorite before the year at 5-1. About 2 weeks into the season, it was Mookie Betts, but Mookie Betts placed on the IL. Now it's Shohei Ohtani at a minus 380 price. The biggest movement is for Chris Sale in pretty much every category. His Atlanta teammate Spencer Strider, short favorite to win the National League Cy Young Award at plus 380, but of course out for the remainder of this season. Sale on opening day, Donnie, 35-1. Now plus 125, less than half a buck in front of Zach Wheeler, who had the second best price for the Phils before the year behind Strider, still the second best number behind another Atlanta starter.
Yeah, it's wild there. You take a look at that MVP market to start, and Shohei Ohtani coming in at that plus 950 price, because coming to the National League, he's going to lose some luster. Not because he's a superstar player changing leads and going to a new team that has a lot of great prospects already for MVP on it, but we expected him to be pitching. He's not pitching. He's only a DH. Therefore, you get that downgrade of close to 10-1, and then you find that he's a minus 380 price because he's unbelievable at the plate, and due to injuries and some other things happening in the National League, he deserves to be the favorite. It'll be interesting because I think that line can certainly shorten up by the end of the season as long as most of the guys in that top five, top six stay healthy. I don't think he's going to run away unless we see something historic, 65 right. home runs, 150 RBI, something in that range. But when you are taking a look at that Cy Young market, nobody saw this from Chris Sale. You thought maybe he could reach back to those White Sox days and early Red Sox days and say, you know what, show me a glimpse of that over a couple weeks to try to help us out here, and you can be our third or fourth starter on this team. He's now taken over as, quite frankly, the ace of that staff due to injury. But that's one of those leaps that I don't think anybody's just saying, hey, you know what? I knew Sale was going to bounce back and be the best pitcher in the National League here before the season started. That wasn't happening.
Sale, a hefty favorite at minus 600 as well to win the NL Comeback Player of the Year. 13 wins, the most in Major League Baseball, a 13-3 record, a 2.70 ERA. Of course, one of the stories of this first half of the MLB campaign, Paul Skenes and what he has done in the 11 Skenes days in the history of Major League Baseball. Now minus 1100 to a National League Rookie of the Year. They're already etching out his name on the hardware in the trophy right now. Now, maybe the more compelling argument for Skenes, that 5-1 price, third best to win NL Cy Young, that could become drastically shorter if the Pittsburgh Pirates, now at 500 at the All-Star break, 48-48, can rally here in the second half of the year to be in NL wildcard contention. And then one final thing from a narrative perspective, Craig Counsell, of course, the bombshell, leaving the Brewers in the offseason to become the manager of the Chicago Cubs, a little bit of a ha-ha moment as Pat Murphy in his first year as Milwaukee's manager is the favorite to win NL Manager of the Year. Hour number two starts after the break here on SportsGrid.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.